recently, Congress, you know what? I have got to get the proper segment going so I know what I'm talking about. I apologize for that, folks. We are talking about current Idaho law right now, only allowing first responders, which include police, fire, and emergency workers, coverage for mental or psychological injuries like post-traumatic stress disorder if it is accompanied by a physical injury. This all could be changing, though. Last week, House Democratic leader Matt Erpelding unveiled draft legislation that would ensure coverage for mental and psychological injuries sustained by first responders under our state's workers' compensation laws. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this, our state representative Matt Erpelding and Boise Fire Chief Dennis Stone. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Chief. You've been in before talking about this, and a couple of months ago came in, and you've been very passionate mm-hmm. about this. And frankly, I think one of the reasons why it got into the public eye so much was that you've been a big advocate of why mm-hmm. first responders need this.
Well, you know, we respond to people on their worst day, and it's our job to try to make their bad day better. And over the years, the things firefighters see from stabbings to shootings to infants, sudden infant death syndrome, that compounds on firefighters and police officers and EMTs. And over time, they need some help. And it's frustrating as the chief to see my firefighters mm-hmm. suffering. And we do our best to get them help, but sometimes they need some extra help. And right now they're not covered under workers' comp, and that's what Representative Erpelding and I are trying to do to get that injury covered.
Is this fairly common, or is this mm-hmm. something unique to our state when it comes to yeah. this lack of coverage?
It's patchwork all over the nation, but a lot of states are starting to recognize that. Washington just passed a law just last year, so the surrounding states are starting to do that and recognize it. I think some of the stigma is going away. Mm-hmm. I tried to pass this law in the early 90s, and it didn't barely made it out of committee and went to the amending order and was killed. But I think our legislature, I think our community has a new view of what's going on, and the stigma is gone, that this is an actual injury, and people are seeing what our firefighters and police officers are going through.
And Representative Erpelding, what made you decide that you needed to get involved in this issue?
There were a number of things that made me decide, but the first one is a personal. I was an EMT in Texas, and so I actually did rotations. And in the 6 months that I was an EMT riding on an ambulance and working in the ER, I saw enough for me to understand that it was something that I would struggle with. And I can only imagine what it's like for our fire, our police officers, our EMTs, and our dispatchers to handle the most traumatic calls and the most traumatic situations on a daily basis and not have access to mental health care.
You know, when you talk about what they see, I mean, just for an example, this made national news headlines mm-hmm. yesterday. It's still on the headlines today, is this case in Indiana with a school bus and three siblings mm-hmm. being tragically killed because they were crossing the road. A truck came, hit them. Everything that I have seen in the news about this and what I have read is, and I believe it was the police, the chief of police there said, first responders don't usually cry. They were crying today. Is this what we're getting back to, Chief Doan?
It is. And, you know, like I said, it's this compounding effect of that happening over and right. over and over. We go on 30,000 calls a year, Boise Fire Department does. And if you think about how many times that happens, how many times they go on these auto accidents where a car plunges into the river or and we're pulling children out, it just wears on you. And, you know, our firefighters need that help. And sometimes people talk about the cost, but the cost of not doing anything is costing us more, because if we get them some help, they can be an effective firefighter for the rest of their career, and we don't have to replace them. In my career, it's been almost 29 years with the Boise Fire Department. I have watched people exit the fire department on alcohol drug abuse and behavioral things that I believe were caused because they weren't treated in the first place for PTSI injuries of some kind. And I think now that we're starting to recognize that, we're going to be able to save these firefighters and save their career and save their families.
Well, and it goes back to exactly what you just said, though. They are self-medicating because they can't out of pocket get the mental health help that they need in order to continue to be not just functioning well in their personal lives, but still do the job that they are trained to do.
There's a reason why more firefighters and police officers killed themselves last year than died in the line of duty. There's a reason we have the highest divorce rate of any occupation. There's a reason that alcoholism is so prevalent and drug abuse. And it's because of this. It's because we are not getting them the help they need when they go on these multiple calls.
And Representative Ripplding, you know, you having been an EMT, like you said, so seeing what you've seen, but now being able to come forward and do something about it, tell me about the changes that you're wanting to make, what you're trying to introduce, and you'll do it this session, correct, in January?
Yes, we introduced bipartisan legislation. There's at least six people that are already signed on to the bill, three Democrats, three Republicans, and more every day are calling me. And what this legislation will do is when a first responder, these are public servants, so these are civil servants who work for a public entity, firefighters, police, dispatchers, and EMTs, but it also includes a lot of our volunteer firefighter services and EMT services across the state. When they are diagnosed by a licensed psychiatrist or psychologist with some form of a PTSI or a mental health injury that they can show is caused predominantly by the traumatic aspects of work, then they would be eligible for workman's compensation coverage in order to have that treated. And as you mentioned in the beginning of the segment, right now, the only way they can get that treated is if they have a concurrent physical injury. So you have to throw your back out to get treated for PTSD, or you have to sprain your ankle to get. And so that doesn't really make any sense. And so we believe that this is the best fix to it. You're diagnosed. It shows that a preponderance, 51% of it, is caused by your workplace and your environment. And you're eligible for support. And the reason that that's important is it's going to help the security of our families. It's going to improve, like Chief Doan said, it's going to improve our employees' ability to do their jobs. And these are the folks that protect us every single day.
I'm speaking with State Representative Matt Ripplding and Boise Fire Chief Dennis Doan. We're talking about some draft legislation that would change first responders being able to be covered under workers' compensation laws when it comes to mental health issues. If you have questions or comments, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu, and we will try to answer your questions. And what's interesting to me about this, though, going back to this idea of you have to have a physical injury under current law, how is that even effective, Chief?
Well, it's not, and that's why we're trying to fix that. It's not effective. Like Representative Ripplding, you could have one firefighter that twists their ankle on a call and then also has an emotional injury at that call would be covered. Another firefighter that's on the exact same call that doesn't get physically injured doesn't get coverage. It's not working, and it doesn't make sense.
And if they are able to get this help, would you, in your experience with the amount of time that you have been a firefighter, I would think a lot of this wouldn't be long-term care necessarily. Or I mean, sometimes maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And we have peer support groups, and we really are focusing on right after that call, getting the firefighter, EMT, police officer help immediately. And we're doing a good job at that. It's when they need extended help. Sometimes they need to go away to a facility for 30 days for a treatment program. Now we're talking using personal insurance, using their own vacation, using their own sick leave. And what we're just saying is let's invest in that employee and what they've done and what they've done for our community, and let's cover that injury so that we can get them back to work, so that we can get them healthy, so they're not self-medicating, so they're not going into some type of destructive behavior, and they can be a good dad, a good mother, and be a great firefighter again. But we need to recognize that and get them the help they need.
So has part of the issue with people that may be opposing this, as you said earlier, is mm-hmm. is the cost. But we pay to train them. Mm-hmm. We, mm-hmm. I mean, there mm-hmm. is money involved mm-hmm. in training a first responder. But mm-hmm. beyond that, it's also the institutional knowledge that comes along with someone who has been in this mm-hmm. position, any position. There's a difference between a firefighter who's been on the force for a year versus a firefighter who's been doing this for 15, 20 years.
Yeah, and like I said, we've lost some firefighters because of those other secondary circumstances. But if we can get them help they need, you know, the cost of that is minuscule to what the department is going to have to pay to replace them or to work through an alcohol or a self-medicating mm-hmm. problem or maybe a behavioral problem that comes out of that psychological injury. So we need to see the forest for the trees. Yeah, there may be a cost to this, but the cost of not doing it is even greater.
And because, isn't it true that when it comes to things like alcoholism or drug abuse, mm-hmm. they don't get fired right away for something like that, correct? I mean, there are steps in place where if mm-hmm. someone is diagnosed with that, you're paying for them to get the treatment that they need so that they can come back uh-huh. and be a firefighter.
Exactly. And then also the healthcare costs will skyrocket because they're getting treatment for things like that. So not only is there the healthcare costs, there's replacing that employee, there's just going through if there's a behavioral problem that comes out of this, all the time of administration and legal and HR. So there's a lot of soft costs to this that I think we're going to be saving as departments.
And very quickly, Representative Rippleton, before we go, when it comes to this being a bipartisan or a partisan issue, where is this standing right now?
Right now, I think that the folks that have been working on the legislation have done a really great job not to make this a partisan issue. Even during an election cycle, we have complete bipartisan support, and it's regional as well. So we have Republicans and Democrats from across the state who are all saying this is something that's necessary in our community to protect our workforce and to protect our public servants who, on a daily basis, keep us safe.
So when this happens, what is the timeline then? Because it's a draft legislation.
Mm-hmm. Our goal is actually to introduce it as early as possible in the legislative session, so within the first 2 weeks of the legislative session, so that we can get it through the entire process this year. And so we start the legislature on January 7th this year. So our goal would be to introduce it by the 21st of January and then get it started along its way of making its way through the House and the Senate.
And then if this were to go through, then we are on that cycle where this would go into effect July 1, correct?
I believe it has an emergency clause in it, which would mean that as soon as it passed the legislature and was signed by the governor, it would go into effect. And we may modify that as it could be based on the fiscal year, or you could put what's called an emergency clause, which would make it go into effect right away.
But either way, Chief, just getting this passed is critical to the health of our first responders.
It is. And you know, it not only does this give them coverage under workers' comp, but the more we talk about it, the more we mm-hmm. Work on it, and firefighters and police officers, we remove that stigma around getting help. And just this discussion that we've been having has really been helping us a lot. And we're excited about that we can invest back into our police officers and firefighters and get them healthy so that they can be productive.
They're critical to our community.
You know, they're putting their lives on the line and their minds on the line for 20 to 30 years. And this is a small cost to invest back in them so that they can continue to protect us each and every day.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about this. My guest today, State Representative Matt Erpelding, Boise Fire Chief Dennis Stone, talking about draft legislation that would help our first responders be covered under workers' compensation laws in Idaho for mental health issues. Thank you both for coming in today and talking. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much.